Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Romans, the first chapter of the book of Romans. We'll start reading at verse number 18. Read down through verse 20. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 18, Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you so much for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the promises of this wonderful book. And Father, I'm so thankful today that this preacher does not have to stand here alone. And Lord, he does so at your command. He comes, he does that which you've told him to do, but you've promised to be with him, to empower him and give him what he needs. And I thank you so much for that. And Father, again, all that's going on and has went on in our Sunday school classes, we thank you for it. Our children's churches, we thank you so much, Father, for what you're going to do. You bless in a real special, special way. And once again, we commit this service to you. We ask you, Lord, to have the precious will of God done here in this place, that we will uplift you, that we will honor you in all that's said and done. Help us, O God, to do that so you'll be glorified. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have entitled my sermon this morning, Questions and Answers. It's kind of an unusual title, but I think you'll see why we've entitled that in just a few moments. We're going to look at some questions that this preacher has been asked down through the years. They may not be worded when they asked me those questions. Maybe it was not like I am going to ask them here, but the thought was there. And over the years, I got to thinking about some of the things and questions people have asked me. I feel like it'd be a good thing to answer them biblically here this morning. I believe it'll help us. Amen. So we're just going to do that. We're going to do that this morning, and we've just called it Questions and Answers from God's Word. One of the first things that has been asked me down through the years is there a God? You know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We know that a man that does not believe in God, the Bible calls him a fool. And yet we know that there is truly a God. You say, Brother Ross, how do you know there's a God? Well, the scripture that I read to you talks about the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse anywhere for people do not believe that there is a God. All you have to do is look around. I rejoice. I do enjoy. There was a time in my life, and I found out I wasn't smart enough, but there was a time in my life when I was a little boy when I wanted to be a scientist. I really did want to be a scientist. I don't know why I wanted to be a scientist. I just wanted to be a scientist. But I still to this day enjoy walking outside and looking up into the stars and the moon and all of those things you see up there in that sky, and then imagine all the things you cannot even begin to see that our God has made them. And I'm amazed at all of those things, and I can't imagine really anybody looking up into the sky and looking around even down on this earth and seeing human beings and seeing all the things we see and say there is no God. It's amazing what God has done, you see. We're fearful and wonderfully made. God has made us. Amen. He's a wonderful God. So all people really have to do, God says, is all you have to do is look at all of these things that I have made and know that there is a God. Those things did not come into being. God created them. God caused them to be. We know that. So God says, then you're without excuse. So I know that there is a God. In fact, in the book of Genesis, he just begins the whole book by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He doesn't take time to explain himself. He doesn't take time to explain his existence. He just simply starts off with God. He's just there. He's just God. He doesn't have to explain himself. He doesn't have to explain himself to anyone. He's just God. You see, we find also in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Once again, I love to look up into the firmament and see the handiwork of God. It's a marvelous, wonderful thing. If you haven't done that lately, take time some evening to go out after the sun has went down and it's got dark and just stand there and be in awe at his creation. It's an amazing thing. And then just think, there's a wonderful God who created all those things, put everything in its place. And it'll just help you to kind of stand in awe at this great, wonderful God. I'm afraid we're living in a time when people don't take time to just recognize God and all his goodness. You just take time to do it. You know, one man said, you know, or something that's a saying, you know, as you go through life, smell the roses. Well, when you go through life, look up and see what God has done. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Smelling them roses is pretty good, too. Because I want to tell you something. My wife grew some beautiful roses right outside our canning kitchen door. What do you call it? The back door, front door, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, some beautiful roses. And I told her yesterday, I said, look at that beautiful red rose out there. And you look at it intricately, just so beautiful. God made that, caused it to be. And not only that, you know, that one's starting to deteriorate, and new ones are coming on. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I know you probably don't want to hear about this, but he grew some wonderful tomatoes for me too this year. Oh my goodness. I really do believe that when God rained manna down on the earth, it was in the form of a tomato. Now, we probably disagree a little bit on our theology, but anyway, God is so good, and he is the great and true God. Is the question then, is there a God? Yes, there is. It's a great and wonderful God. Another question that I've been asked, and as I said, some of these, I'll maybe put them, maybe not the way that they worded them, but the question has been asked, am I accountable to God? Am I accountable unto this God? Does this God really care what I do? Does he really care about me? The Bible says in Romans the 14th chapter, 12th verse, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Yes, every single individual upon the face of this earth will give account of himself unto God. That's what the Bible says. In Romans, the second chapter, in fact, if you're probably right there, look over at verse number 5. But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, speaking here of the judgment of God, he says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Yes, we are accountable unto God. I had a man ask me one day. He was claimed to be a Christian, and he said to me almost in fear one day, he said, do you believe I'm going to have to give an account for everything that I have done? And he had a pretty good list of things that he had done. And I said, because of Jesus, you won't have to give an account for your sin. Thank God for that. But will you give an account to Jesus Christ for the way you lived as a Christian? Yes, you will. And this also kind of brought some fear to his life, because he was not living. He claimed to be a Christian, but was not living the Christian life. That's serious business, folks, because every one of us will give an account unto our great and wonderful God. Amen. Not only that, I've been asked, do you really believe that he really knows all about me? Do you really believe that he cares about me or even knows about me? Over in Luke, the 16th chapter, it says, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Listen to what he says. But God knoweth your hearts. Does God know us? Does God care? He knows our very hearts. It's really a wonderful thing, because it's knowing the heart that we put our faith and trust in Christ that makes it possible that we go to heaven. But it's also an awesome thing to understand that our God knows all about us, every thought of our heart, even to the every intent of our thoughts. Can you imagine? He knows what we really thought, what we meant when we thought it. He's the great and true God, and He knows all about us. He knows our heart. Some people may be here this morning, you know, saying, I'm here because my heart wants to be here, but He knows whether it is or not. He knows whether this preacher is preaching because his heart is in his preaching. He knows that. He knows whether you're sitting and listening this morning, whether your heart is really in the sermon, whether you really want to get something from God, even just a little bit from God this morning that'll help you. He knows that. Isn't that amazing? God knows, and He knows your thoughts. He knows. Some of you may be thinking about that roast you got on at home today, and you can't hardly wait to get home to eat it. Well, you can be sure of one thing. He knows it. He's the great and wonderful God. He knows our very heart. Over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Do you know there's not one thing that is not manifest before Him, brought out into the open, that God knows all of our little secrets? God knows every act we've ever committed. God knows every thought we've ever thought. Now, folks, this is awesome. That's the great and wonderful God. He knows everything about you and me. Every single thing. That's an awesome thing. It ought to make us live better for God when we understand that God knows exactly what we've done, where we've been, what we've said, what we've thought, everything about us, and in fact, though, is willing to forgive us because of the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Oh, it's amazing, folks. God is willing to forgive us, although He knows us. He knows who we are. And He's willing to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a wonderful God. Does God know that I'm a sinner? Or does God in His Word say that I'm a sinner? Yes, you know, some folk have real problems coming to the place where they admit that they're sinners. It's just hard for them to do. They think they've done some things wrong, but they're really not that bad. Folks, that's a very serious problem we have in America today of trying to get people to come to Christ. They don't understand. Yes, they're a sinner. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means you, that means me. There is none of us right. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Will you agree with that? I know that's elementary, but listen to me, folks. Everybody, including you, have sinned and come short of God's glory. You have not hit the mark of perfection. You have missed it, and so has this fellow up here. You see, God knows every single one of us is a sinner. Will God punish sin? Do we really have to go to hell? Will He truly punish sin? See, this is one of those things that we look at the world over and we see all of these people in, we usually use Africa or some of these other places, and we look at that and say, surely God will not punish them because they've never had an opportunity. And that is true. Some of them have not had an opportunity. Missionaries won't go and preach. But listen to me, if you'll read the scripture as you read here in Romans, the 1st chapter, there was a day when they could have known God. There was a time, and they walked away from it. The forefathers walked away from it. Some of those are dark continents today because they did know God years and years ago, and they've walked away from it. It's what scares me about America. We did know God, but there's multitudes today in America who do not know God. See, if we don't keep this gospel alive and from our pulpits keep preaching the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, it's going to die. towns, and right now there's towns across this great nation where they really don't have Bible preaching churches in them. They don't really know God. You understand what I'm saying? You see, God will punish sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I believe that. I've believed that since the time I got saved. I believe that when I got saved. I understood that. That's the wages of sin. It's death. It's not just a physical death. A lot of people say, sure, everybody's going to die. No, it's the second death. The death of the lake at fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Yes, the wages of sin is death. Yes, God will punish sin. You remember in Luke 16 where the rich man died and opened up his eyes in hell being in torments. Is there a hell? Yes, there's a hell. A burning hell forever and ever and ever, and God will absolutely punish sin. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. Don't get this in your thoughts that God is going to let some people get by with not getting saved before they can go to heaven. It's not true. It's only by the blood of Christ that will wash away sins. And all sin will be punished, you see. All sin will be punished, you see, except those that's been washed in the blood of Christ, you see. Amen. So will God punish sin? Yes, he will. Can I be saved on my own merits? I hear this probably more than probably anything else. They don't state it like that, but what they say is, I've been a good person. I've done well. I've treated my neighbor good. I've always tried to help folk out when I could. I've heard this so many times. They just think that because they've been some goodness in them that they can get to heaven on their own merits. But the Bible says in Isaiah 64, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You see, the righteousness of man is filthy rags. I wish you'd hear me today. I wish you'd listen to me today. That righteousness, your righteousness and my righteousness, is a bunch of filthy rags. And I heard a man explain this one day. He seemed to know kind of the Greek, and I don't know whether he got all this out of the Greek, but he explained it. I felt like it was good. He said, if you'll take a horrible wound here on your arm, I mean a horrible, terrible wound, you've been cut, you've been really hurt. And he says, and he take the wrappings and they put around that and try to stop the bleeding and leave it there a few days before you change it. He said, and then you take those rags off and there's all that, excuse me, that pus and that infection and all of that on that. And he said, that's what God's talking about when he says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now you get a picture of what God looks at, what God sees when he sees our righteousness. It's as filthy rags. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. What? Lest any man should boast. Do you understand? It's not our works that get us to heaven. How many times does people want to try to claim their goodness so that they can go to heaven? There may be some of you here this morning like that. You think, I've been a good little boy. I've been a good little girl, you see. And because of that, I think God will just take me to heaven. No, he won't. He won't do that. You must be born again. You must be washed in the blood of Christ. Must be a time when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you see. It's a must. Amen. You can't get to heaven on your own works, your own merits, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. It's by the mercy of God that a man is saved, not by any works that any person could ever do. Amen. Now, must I go to hell? Must I perish? Is it imperative that I go to hell? Is there anything that can be done? No, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God does not want you to go to hell this morning. He does not want you to perish. Isn't that wonderful? That's why back in 1966, he sought me out. Why? He didn't want me to perish. I was on my way to hell. My wife and I had a family, you know, already had a family, children. David was 3 years old. Lori was 9 years old when we got saved. You see, why? Because God knew we was perishing. We was on our way to hell, and God loved us enough. He drew us to himself and saved our soul. He'll do the same for you. Amen. You see, you do not have to perish, you see. We know that God sent his only begotten Son because he loved us. Amen? So that we wouldn't have to perish. Okay? You don't have to perish. Oh, I'm always grateful when people ask me that question, do I have to go to hell? Do I have to perish? Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, no, no. God's provided a way. Thank God for that. And then, of course, like the jailer that day, he wanted to know how he could be saved, you see. And the Apostle Paul told him, said, just believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that a wonderful message? Isn't that a simple, wonderful message? Just believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I want you to notice something, too. It's not believe in Christ. It's not believe about Christ. It's believe on Christ. I'll give you a simple illustration. I'm going to go over here and sit down. Hope it holds. But I just put my trust in this chair. I settle. And my trust is in this chair. David and Jessica, I don't know what time they're coming back, but they're flying back today from Atlanta, Georgia, and they're going to get on an airplane. And they're going to put their trust in that airplane and the people who's flying it. They'll get on it. They'll sit down in a seat. The plane will take off. We pray it'll get land safely. And they're putting their trust in an airplane. You see, the only difference there is that chair might fail. That airplane could fail. But Jesus never fails. When you put your trust, your faith on him. See, he can't fail. Amen. Yeah, you can be saved, but you must put your faith, your trust on Jesus. He's the one you're trusting to wash away your sins. In John 3, he says, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. You say, Brother Ross, and listen to me, folks, listen. You know, you might say this morning, I don't believe I've done anything bad enough to go to hell. Well, God, the Word of God says you're condemned already. Why? Because you haven't believed upon the name of the only begotten Son. You're already condemned. Don't make a difference where you are, how old you are. Don't make a difference. You're condemned already. The only way you're going to not be condemned is to believe upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So you believe on him, and that takes the condemnation away. Why? Because he washes your sin away. Amen. We find over in John 3rd chapter 36 verse, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Once again, it's believing on Jesus Christ. What do you have as a result of that? Everlasting life. Boy, it'd be a horrible thing to turn down everlasting life. This is amazing. But you get everlasting life when you believe upon Jesus. I mean, it's forever. Can't imagine it. I mean, really, I can't. But all I know is it's true. I get everlasting life when I put my faith on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I want to ask another question that people's asked me. Is God willing to save me? Boy, I can always rejoice. God is more than willing, said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus come. Now, you young people this morning, you listen to me. God loves you. I don't know whether you're a Christian or not. I don't know whether you've come to Christ or not, but he wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. That's why Jesus came to this earth, so that you could be saved, you see. He wants to save your soul, you see. And he'll do that if you'll just let him do that. Is God willing to save us? Yes. Bible says in 1 Timothy that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, of whom I'm chiefest. Apostle Paul was saying, and what he really believed in, he said, I'm the chiefest sinner. I mean, he said, I'm not just one of the little Indians, I'm chief. He said, I mean, I'm there's no one worse sinner than I am. So what Paul was basically saying, I'm the chief of sinners. And was God willing to save Paul? Yes, he was. God saved him, you see. That's why Jesus come into the world, was to save sinners. You're here without Christ this morning, God wants to save you. Wants to give you eternal life, you see. He'll save your soul. He's willing to save you. Not only that, can I be saved now? Yes, oh, I always like that question. Can I be saved now? That's a good question. And I rejoice when they get to that place, won't know if they can be saved right now. The Bible says, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I mean, today's the day of salvation. Young people, did you know that? Did you know if you're unsaved today? Did you know God wants to save you today? Yeah, today's the day of salvation. He wants to save you today, yes. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen? He wants you to be saved, even to them who believe upon his name. You understand? He wants to do it today. He'll save you. Yes, right now. He'll save you right now. I've seen many people saved. Saw a lot of folks saved. And he just does it instantaneously. He just saves their soul, gives them eternal life. When their heart is right, wanting to accept Christ as personal Savior, he just saves them. And he does it right now. 1966, it was at a revival meeting. And God saved me at a revival meeting. Down at an altar of prayer, I knelt there. And God saved me right then. Right then. I mean, it didn't take 3 days for him to save me. I mean, when I asked him, he just saved me. You know, I tell my story. Sometime I asked God if he'd keep me alive till that night, I'd get saved. I was so dumb. I didn't know he'd save me. Just standing there, I thought I had to be in church. Thought I had to be around a preacher or something. You know, and I told God I wasn't going to work that day. Working at Anaconda Lumen to come in. I said, if you'll just let me stay alive until tonight, I'll get saved. And one man said, you's probably saved right there. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is this. I got saved instantaneously. When God saves, he just saves, you see. So you can be saved now, today. Be a wonderful thing. You can get saved this morning. Amen. Go home from this place as a Christian, as a child of God, born again into God's family. Amen. Now, can I be saved just as I am? Boy, that's a good, you know, a lot of folk want to clean their life up before they try to get saved. They want to say, well, I've got something. I've had them tell me so many times. I've got some things I need to straighten out. I've got to get my life straight. No. You don't need to get your life straightened out. You never will get your life straightened out. You'll be a mess for the rest of your life. You're a mess now, and you will be for the rest of your life. Amen. I was a mess when I got saved. You see, something good after I got saved happened. But I was a mess. I would have been the rest of my life if I hadn't got saved. You see, you don't straighten up your life. No. You come to him just as you are. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you know, I don't care who you are, how much you sin, what you've done in your life. It doesn't make any difference. God won't cast you out. See, old Satan sits there and talks to you, and he says, you're not good enough to get saved. You got to straighten some things out in your life before you'll ever get saved. God ain't going to save you. God's not going to accept you. Well, that's the old Satan talking. That's not God talking. God wants you just as you are. Just come. He won't cast you out. Amen. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Don't make a difference what you've done. God wants you just the way you are. He's the only way he can save you. Amen. Matthew 9 chapter says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Now, folks, if you're righteous, then you don't need saved. I mean, if you think you're righteous, you need saved. But if you think you're righteous, you're not to the place where you think you need to be saved. No, God's looking for folk who know they're sinners. Amen. He found one in 1966. Didn't have any problem understanding I was a sinner. None whatsoever. I'm just telling you, I didn't have any problem whatsoever. When the Word of God said I'd sin, come short of God's glory, I, in my heart, said amen. No problem whatsoever. I knew I was a sinner, you see. And as long as you know you're a sinner, God's ready to save you. See, he didn't call the righteous because the righteous thinks they're all right already. You understand? No, they think they're all right. No, you're not all right. I'm not all right. You see, we need to realize we're a sinner. Lost need to be saved. Amen. Now, right now, can I know I'm saved? See, this is one of those things. I've had people, I lead them to Christ, and I try to do everything I can to prepare them for this next statement I'm going to say to them. Because I tell them, I say, now, if you ask Christ to save you, will God save you? Yeah, he'll save me. Yes, sir. I said, now, you mean it. I mean, if you call upon Christ, will he save you? We've just went through all the scriptures. We've done all that. Will he save you? I've had people, after you call upon Christ, I said, now, where are you going if you die? Yeah, you know, I don't know. I say, listen, folks, you need to get this thing all corrected. You need to know what you're doing on this thing. But I've had them say that to me. I don't know. You think I'd go to heaven? Well, sure, you'd go to heaven. If you really mean in your heart you get saved, you're going to go to heaven. Amen. You can get saved. You can know you're saved. That's why the Word of God was written, so you can know you're saved. You're born again. In fact, go over with me to the Gospel of John, just a few moments. The Gospel of John. Third chapter. These are good verses. I want you to see them. Third chapter, John. Now, Now look what he says in verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you notice verse 18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Folks, do you believe upon Christ? No, have you really believed on him? And I'm talking about in him, about him. I'm talking about on him. Have you put your faith and trust in on him? Is he who you're trusting on? All right, Bible says that he that believeth on him is not condemned. The Bible says, you know what? That's assurance. You can just take that to the bank. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. That's what God says he means. Okay, look at verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide him on. You see, he that believeth on the Son, do you believe on the Son? Then you have everlasting life. God said that. That's assurance, you see. Now look over in chapter 5 of John there, chapter 5, and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, all you have to do is just decide, do I have Jesus? Have I put my faith and trust on Jesus Christ, the Son of God? You see, if you have, the Bible says you have everlasting life, and you'll never come into condemnation. Never. Now, I know all about Satan. I know that rascal. He'll do everything he can to put doubts in your mind. I know that. But if that just keeps coming in your heart, you don't know whether you're saved or not, you ought to get it taken care of. You ought to go drive a stake somewhere, and that stake would be a good place to drive it. I'm not talking about a meat stake. I'm talking about a wooden stake. You drive it right up here at this altar and just say, at this time, I'm going to put my faith in Christ. I'm going to accept him as my personal Savior, and I'm going to remember that's the place that I trusted Christ, and I know I'm saved, and whenever Satan comes around, just tell him to get behind you and leave you alone. Because he will try to discourage you in your faith. Amen. All right, now listen to me. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're God's child? If this has been going on and on and on and on in your life, you need to correct that. You need to get that taken care of. You need to just come to altar prayer this morning and just give your heart and life to Christ and accept that as a time when you've gotten saved. Amen? Okay? Amen? That's a good thing. That's the right thing to do, you see. And so right now you can know that you're saved. Over in 1 John, the 5th chapter, 13th verse says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know. God wants you to know you have eternal life. Amen. Now, lastly, will I be assured of heaven? Oh, I want to tell you something. A person gets saved, has got a wonderful place in heaven waiting on them. It's just as assured as God himself. God cannot go back on his word. Listen to what he said you have waiting on you over in 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says that the rapture of the church, God's going to take us up, meet him in the air, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. You say, Brother Ross, what's that take? How can I know that for sure? Get saved. Accept Christ as your personal Savior, and it's yours. God's given it to you. It's the promise of God. He's going to come and get us one of these days, take us on to heaven, live with him forever. Amen. We'll always be with him. That's a wonderful promise, you see. You see, heaven is God's promise. Also, of course, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God has promised there's a place up there being prepared for you and I. God doesn't lie. I just like to tell people, you know, when they've put their faith and trust in Christ, I like to tell them, you remember something, God never lies. When God said he has a place prepared, Jesus said he was going away to prepare a place for us. He said also there's many mansions up there in heaven, but he's going to prepare a place for us. God does not lie. You see, and he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. God does not lie. He's coming again. Amen. Amen. What's for? To receive us. Why? So that we'll be where he's at. Amen. Sure. You see, God does not lie. Can you know for sure you have heaven waiting on you? Yes. How? Just get born again. Amen. You say, Brother Ross, I don't know if heaven's waiting on me or not. I don't know whether I have a heaven or have a promise of heaven. Well, you can. Jesus Christ loves you. Now, I know something. I've kind of mentioned the younger people here, but I know something. Younger people, when you're young and you get, and I'm not talking about terrible sins or anything, but you get involved in things, you begin to look back and you begin to say, have I ever accepted Christ? A lot of folk go through this. Some of my children went through this. They got a little older and they began to worry whether they'd been saved or not, whether they truly trusted Christ as their Savior. I just want to say something. If that doubt keeps going in your mind, you need to drive a stake. You just need to drive a stake. You need to do that. You need to get that thing settled. But also know that Satan does want to just disrupt your faith. Amen? You want to look back at that time when you got saved. Did you understand that you was an old sinner? Did you understand that? You was a sinner. You lost in God's eyes. You're lost on your way to hell. Did you understand it? The best of your ability, did you understand it? Then did you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, on Jesus Christ, for the salvation of your soul? Did you put trust in on Him? I mean Him alone, not someone else, but on Him, that He forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. You see, God saves your soul, gives you eternal life. You see, He wants you to know it and to know you have heaven waiting on you. You know, that's the comfort of the Scriptures, to know heaven's waiting. The rapture is going to happen one of these days. That's comforting. I think probably if I would ask everybody to testify today, there's things going on in your life, and I don't mean bad things, or just things in your life. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of things. Sometimes we just look and say, Jesus, I just wish You'd come on. You know, well, remember, that promise of Him coming is to keep us and give us comfort. He is coming. Amen. Now, I just want to ask you, are you saved this morning? Are you born again? Can you testify this morning? Can you testify that you're God's child? You know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. And if not, why don't you make this the morning when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Accept Him. Nail it down this morning. Put a stake there and say, that's the time when I got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm doing that today, and I'll be saved forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking You today for Your wonderful grace. Thank You, Father, for loving us and caring for us, meeting the needs of our life. Father, especially this morning, should there be someone here just not sure, Lord, about their salvation. They want to get it straight this morning. They just want, Lord, to get all of that put behind them, all them doubts and all those things that beset them. Oh, God, help them this morning. If there's any here that needs to just commit their life to Christ, also for just service, to love Him and walk with Him, oh, God, help them to do that this day. Whatever Your will for each individual is this morning, we trust, oh, God, it'll be done. And we'll ask You this in Jesus' name. Amen.